What's going on, guys? Bob Buskirk here at Think Computers, and we are on episode 9 of our weekly tech podcast, where we get together and talk about tech, talk about the reviews we did this past week, and just what's going on in the tech world. As always, on the line with me is Derek. How is your morning going today, Derek?
Yo, it's going okay. Had a surprise dentist appointment, and it's freezing out, so, I mean, could be better, but, you know, at least we're talking about tech now.
Yeah, it's been a little weird. Like last weekend, it was like felt like summer, and today it's like 30 degrees outside. Yeah. So that's not fun.
It's terrible. What it snowed here. It snowed there, right?
Yeah, it snowed a little bit. It was like mixed rain and snow crap. So
it's absurd, honestly.
Yeah, it's just we need summer to be here. Even though we get it for like 3 months, we need it to be here.
It needs to be here now.
Yeah, for sure. So let's just jump into our reviews this week. First, we have a case review from BitPhoenix, and we haven't taken a look at a BitPhoenix case in quite a while. So this is the Aegeus, I guess that's how you say it. It's kind of their take on a really high-performance micro ATX case. You know, knowing BitPhoenix, it comes in a wide variety of different colors. We received the yellow version. Really great case. It's really, really cool. If you've BitPhoenix is known for a lot of their cases, and this is a really great case. Again, something that's not overly large, but it's big enough to hold those really high-end components that you would want, you know, for like a LAN party, or if you're building a really high-performance machine in the micro ATX form factor. It's, you know, it's only $100 too. So it's a really cool case. You didn't review it, but the other Derek reviewed it, and he liked it pretty well. It's overall really a good case.
It looks like an overall decent case.
Yeah, it's a really good case, and I like a lot of companies are doing this now because, you know, we've seen micro ATX in mini ITX cases that kind of aren't really built for the high end. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, but over this past year, we've seen a lot of companies come out with these cases that are made to put high performance components in it, not just, you know, typical things.
Yeah, they're not just like your bargain entry level. They're like realizing that we want a small form factor with our full-size parts.
Yeah, and that can fit, you know, that can fit your radiators in there, that can fit different things that, you know, that are more thought out, and this is one of those cases for sure. There's a lot in this case that you typically not, you know, you don't always see on certain cases and all that, and again, it fits those long graphics cards, full-size ATX power supply, all that kind of stuff. This case fits, and like I said, it is only $100, and there's quite a lot of colors to choose from. I forget how many there are, but there's a lot.
Yes, quite the lineup. I don't think I'd pick this specific yellow and black, but I'm sure there is one that I would pick.
Yeah, there's a lot of different colors, and it's again, it's a really great case. So definitely go to the site and check that out if you're, you know, looking for a new micro ATX case. But we'll move on from that, and I took a look at the fastest solid-state drive that I've ever tested, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is the Kingston HyperX Predator PC Express solid-state drive. I took a look at the 480 gig version, which is their highest version, or highest capacity. They will be coming out with a 960 later this year, but this is the highest capacity. So basically what it is, it's an M.2 PC Express solid-state drive. The one that I reviewed came with the PCI Express adapter, but if you had a PCI Express 2.0 X4 M.2 slot, it would work just the same.
It's slightly cheaper without the adapter, right?
It's about $20 cheaper without the adapter.
Okay.
So if you did have the slot, you can just get the M.2 drive. If you don't have that slot, you can just use, you know, you can get it with the adapter, and it will go into any PCI Express slot.
Right.
So it's extremely fast, about 1,400 megabytes a second read and about 1,000 megabytes a second write. And those were pretty much consistent throughout the drive. Worked really well. This is a drive you can use for a boot drive as well, because a lot of PCI Express drives in the past, they weren't bootable. So this you can load Windows on and make this your, you know, your OS drive. It's very fast. It's very competitively priced, too.
I thought that as well.
It's just a little over a dollar a gig, but given that its speed and everything like that, it is.
I don't think you can touch that speed for a dollar with any other drugs.
Yeah, so, you know, it's really great. Another cool thing about it is, so there's a couple other companies that offer drives like this, and what they do is if you remove the M.2 from the adapter, it voids your warranty. But with Kingston, they allow you to remove it and it doesn't void your warranty.
That just makes sense. I don't.
Yeah, so that's like another thing that they've done. Again, I didn't have any problems with this drive. It worked really well. I didn't have to like install anything crazy to get it set up. You just plug it into your PCI Express slot. You know, Windows picks it up. You know, you format it, you're good to go. I mean,
Cool.
it's really that easy. It performs really great. Again, this is kind of be like the go-to drive I feel for you know, creative professionals, gamers, like hardcore gamers, enthusiasts. Like this is gonna be the you know, the right drive for
Yeah,
them.
I think that for like depending on the price for the 960 gig, like that would be the perfect single all-around drive. Like
Yeah, and that's supposed to come out in Q3 for the 960.
okay.
But yeah, it's just it's a, you know, I gave it an editor's choice, which is again something I've given out a lot in the past 2 weeks. But we've had some really awesome products, and I don't typically give that award out. But this, like, there literally was nothing wrong with this drive. I didn't find a single thing wrong with the drive.
And it's amazingly fast. I think I agree with your editor's choice.
Yeah, it's fast. It's competitively priced. The only thing, it's not a bad thing, but it only has a 3 year warranty. Usually with higher end products we see a 5 year warranty. I've seen 5 year warranties on other solid state drives that are more high end, but that's still, it's something you really can't complain about.
I think the 3 years is a decent lifespan. For somebody that's looking for an enthusiast product like this, they're probably not going to keep it for more than 3 years, if
Yeah,
we're being
that,
honest.
yeah. So, but yeah, it got a perfect 10 out of 10 score and our editor's choice. So if you are looking for pretty much one of the fastest solid state drives available, this is it. And like, again, it's competitively priced. If you have a M.2 slot, in your mother, you know, on your motherboard, you don't need to get it with the adapter. But if you don't, it has the adapter as well. Again, nothing bad I can say about it. So
Nice.
yeah, very, very cool product. Talking about cool products, I actually took a look at, there's this new company that came out in 2013, and you might have heard of them over the past year or so. They're called CryoRig, and we had never reviewed one of their products before. So they sent us their flagship product, their first ever product that came out, which was their R1 Ultimate CPU cooler. And for being their first product, I was extremely impressed. You know, when it comes to cooling companies, all of these companies that you know of nowadays, they started out doing OEM cooling, right? They started out making, you know, OEM coolers, and then they finally got a consumer product out. Well, CryoRig, this was their first product, a consumer enthusiast high-end product.
They just jump straight into
Yeah,
it.
they went straight into it with no, you know, nobody knows of this company, so what are they, you know, how are they going to come into the market? Well, this product was a great product to launch with. It's our best performing CPU, air CPU cooler that I've tested it in a long time, and it's quite large. It is, you know, it's one of those really big heat sinks. It's a dual tower heat sink, but it was so easy to install.
Was it
Yeah, compared to the if you
really?
listen to last week's podcast, the Fantex cooler, which is extremely small and so hard to install, this is the
Yeah.
complete opposite. This is extremely large but extremely easy to install.
Looks like the middle fan comes out and you can just run the screws
Well,
right through,
the
huh?
thing is too is that you don't actually have to remove it. I
No.
removed it just to make it easier. But they give you one of those like long screwdrivers, so the screwdriver is actually included, and it
Okay.
actually slips in between there. So you technically don't even have to remove the fan. I just did it because it was easier,
Yeah.
but you really don't have to if you don't want to.
That's awesome. That
Yeah,
does look incredibly simple.
and the performance is great. The fans aren't overly loud. It looks great too.
Yeah, that was the first thing I thought. I thought this looks different and it looks good.
Yeah. So for their first product, I really like it. I actually have their H1 here, which I'll be testing in a couple weeks. So we'll see how that goes as well.
Is that a step down then?
Yeah, actually, I'm not exactly sure. I think, oh, let me look it up. Because, let's see. They have a couple different coolers now. But let me see if I can find the H1 on their website. H5, R1, or maybe or it might be the H5. I'm pretty sure it's the H5 because I don't see an H1 on here.
Bob's so, making up. Bob's yeah. making up products.
I believe it is the H5, which is a single tower cooler, but the tower, the actual tower, is extremely thick.
Okay.
So yeah, that's they,
and yeah. that was one of the things you said too about this one is that it's wide, right?
Yeah.
So if you're not thinking this one's gonna fit, possibly that H5 could.
Yeah. Well, what's cool too is so they have the R1 and then they have the R1 Universal, and the R1 Universal is more or less the same cooler, but the front fan is extremely thin.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't have a problem with any on my setup. I didn't have a problem with like RAM issues or compatibility issues. Some right. people might if they have larger RAM, but I don't in our test system. So.
Okay.
But yeah, they have the R1 Universal. There's actually some really cool things about this too. It's like they use certain technologies and certain designs that you would think that we would have seen already, but we haven't seen them before, and they use them in this cooler. And I mean, based on the performance, these technologies and techniques actually work quite well.
Nice.
So it's definitely cool, and you know it seems like they're doing a great job with these coolers, and that's all they're really offering right now is they have like their own fans and they have coolers right now. So maybe we'll see them jump into something else as time goes on, but they're doing a really great job so far. So definitely, if you're looking for an air cooler, this is a great one.
Especially one that not everybody has.
Yeah, and the same thing too is it's a CPU cooler that you can put on an overclock CPU that you're running 24/7. You are not going to have an issue with it at all.
Nice.
So I really like that. So moving on to our fourth and final review of the week, I took a look at a very budget-friendly product, which actually proved to be, you know, it's one of those products that's like you're getting what you pay for, and this is totally it. This is the TTE Sports Challenger Prime gaming keyboard. And, you know, when you're thinking about gaming keyboards, you typically think about the higher end ones, I feel, right?
Yeah.
You think about,
especially if you're just gaming in general.
Yeah, so you're thinking about the higher end keyboards. And with this is a $30 keyboard. It does not use mechanical keys, which I guess that is its drawback, I feel. Because, you know, most gamers want the mechanical keys, and actually using it for a couple weeks, not that it was horrible to play games, but it doesn't have that feel, obviously, of...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about when you switch...
Yeah.
Just that feeling when you switch from some domes to mechanicals again.
Yeah. So, it's a membrane keyboard, but a couple things I really liked about it. One, it's backlit, so that's just, like, a cool feature that you would expect on a gaming keyboard. Maybe not one for $30, but you get the backlighting. It's in three different colors. It has six macro keys that you can make whatever you want. The entire keyboard can be completely remapped too. I did like that feature.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And it has up to three profiles. It has multimedia keys. It actually is a cool feature because a membrane keyboard is a lot different than a mechanical keyboard in the fact that, like, if you spill something on it, it's not really going to break the keyboard. So they actually have holes in the bottom of the keyboard. So if you spill something, it drains out. Yes.
It drain out.
So your keys don't get sticky or whatever. So it's just like a little cool thing that they've added in there. For $30, you really can't go wrong with this keyboard. You know.
No, yeah. You can't get most plain little office keyboards for about $30.
Yeah, so. And this one has a lot of those cool features, and it has their companion software that allows you to create macros and do all that stuff and completely remap the keyboard as well. The illumination looks good. It, like I said, it has three colors. It has blue, red, and purple, and you can do like the breathing mode as well. So overall, it's just a good keyboard if you're not looking to go mechanical and you want something that looks cool and has, you know, some macro keys and some other things for gaming that you would want. It's a good keyboard.
I think this looks like a really good, like, first-time gamer build keyboard.
Yeah, or like,
you know, when you've got to buy everything to get started. I think this is a good keyboard for that.
Yeah, or if you're, like, you know, for your kids or something like that.
Yeah,
or younger gamers who you don't want to spend a whole lot of money on because you know they're going to break it.
Yep.
You know, that type of thing. $30, you really can't go wrong with this keyboard. So
yeah,
definitely cool. A cool keyboard. Definitely one that you get your money's worth. So it is Friday, and that means we have Case Mod Friday. And What that is a section on the site where we highlight a case mod that's been finished in the community. We go out and try to find some of the coolest case mods. So this week we have a build called Xenomorph, and it is kind of a tribute to the person that created Xenomorph, which is H.R. Giger. So if you don't know what Xenomorph is, it's the creature in Alien. And what this guy did is he created a mod kind of around that, which is sort of a more simple mod, I feel, but it just looks great. I like that he put the actual creature in the reservoir in the build, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a, what is it? It's a Parvum case, right?
Yeah, that, this, I was going to ask you this, like, this case... And like, there's a couple cases that pretty much all the mods that we've seen come out have been used in certain cases. And this is one of the cases that has been, you know.
One of the popular ones.
Yeah.
They're cases that, like, they look good, right, to begin with. And they have good space in them. And they're really mod friendly. And that's what gets picked up, typically. And then we see a lot of mods around the same cases over and over again.
Yeah.
So it's good and it's bad. I mean, we end up seeing the same thing over and over, but we also see a lot of, as that happens, we see a lot of creativity come out too.
Yeah, so he did some really cool things. Obviously this case was like custom, he got Parvum to make it custom for him. So the window has a really cool design to it. He did, you know, he sleeved the power supply, he painted the fans as well as parts of the motherboard. He changed, so he used an MSI motherboard, MSI gaming motherboard.
Right.
And the PCH heatsink, like, says MSI and has the MSI dragon. Well, he actually changed that dragon into, like, an alien figure, and then he painted it. Cool things like that. He painted the solid-state drive, just, like, a cool little mod, I feel.
It's not a crazy, crazy, but he did do a really good job with it.
Yeah. So I really like that, and it's just really clean and nice. He used rigid tubing, I feel. I think he did. I have to look at it.
Yep, he did.
Yeah, so that's a big thing that we've seen, too. And again, I think the coolest thing about it is that he put the actual Xenomorph figure in the...
Yeah, you got a little mini one.
In the reservoir. So if you know anything about the Alien series, because that's what this is based on, there's a part in the movie where, like, there's... the aliens, like, in these little tubes. So this is kind of like a tribute to that. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. And he's an EK rep, so it's all EK parts.
Yeah, it's all...
Which looks really good together.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely a cool thing, so if you want to check that out. And if, you know, if you are into modding or case modding or anything like that, we have a whole section on the site for this, so you can go through and check out some of the great mods that we featured over the past year. There's quite a lot. Quite a lot of really cool things that we've seen over the past year. So definitely check that out. And let's move into news for the week. We have some actually pretty cool news stories this week. It's been a fun week as far as tech news. Some cool things have come out. So the first story, which I actually saw this past weekend, it's pretty I think it's pretty awesome. Growing up, one of the only shows on TV that was tech-related was The Screensavers. Which was on Tech TV, if you had gotten that. I don't know if you've ever watched that show before.
I've not.
It was kind of cool because it was like us nerds and geeks. We had a show on TV that was about us. They did really cool things, really cool like how-tos. And there was a lot of people now who are really well-known in the tech industry that kind of got their start on that show. And the person behind the show was Leo Laporte, and he runs Twitch now, which is This Week in Tech, and he has a whole – or Twit, and he has a – the whole Twit network, which is a ton of shows now. He kind of created his own Tech TV out of when Tech TV closed and all that, and he's done a really great job. A ton of shows, a lot of shows that I do watch, and he just announced that they're bringing back The Screensavers, which a lot of people will like, and they're actually going to bring back a lot of the original people that were on the show, like Kevin Rose and some of the other cool people that were on the show. So I'm pretty excited about that. If you were ever a fan of the show,
I'll definitely be checking that out this time around.
Yeah, so it was a really cool show back in the day, and you know, it'd be interesting to see if he can kind of bring back that same type of feel to the show. So definitely a cool thing. I'm pretty excited about that, for sure. The show starts on the 2nd.
May 2nd?
Yeah, I think it's May 2nd. I have to look at the post. I don't know. Maybe I think I put it in the post. But anyways, yeah, I believe it's May 2nd. They will be recording it. It will be
a weekly, right?
Yeah, it'll be a weekly show. And a lot of their shows are sort of like this. Like, they do a lot of podcasts. So this right. show is going to be much more produced. It's going to be actually like a real show.
And what it's airing on what?
It's airing on the Twit Network. So
okay.
you'll just be able to go to the website and watch it. They do a live. They live stream all of their shows. So you'll be able to watch it live, or you can it'll be available as a download, just like our podcast will be available as a download,
right.
a video download that you can go ahead and check out. So it's definitely something cool. Great to see Leo do this, and I'm pretty excited to actually check out the first episode.
Nice.
So moving on from that, I bet you're excited about this next story.
Dude, super, super stoked.
So some Intel Skylake rumors came out this week, and one of the biggest things is that one of their parts will have a stock speed of 4 gigahertz.
That's just awesome. It's kind of like finally, too.
Yeah, so the part is the Core i7-6700K. This is a 4-core product. It has a stock speed of 4 gigahertz and will boost up to 4.2 gigahertz. Has
hyper threading, so it's
yeah,
hyper threads to 8 cores.
Yeah, hyper threading, 8 meg cache. Has Intel HD Graphics 5000, DDR3 and DDR4 support, and a TDP of 95 watts.
Which is pretty low.
This is all, we have to say, this is all rumors. This isn't official specifications, but
it's true.
But you,
I'm living on this rumor yeah. though. Like,
but we've heard things, and this is one of the more in-depth kind of rumors we've heard about Skylake. The other part that came out, or you know, leaked, or however you want to say yeah. it, was the Core i5-6600K, which will also have 4 cores, but there's no hyper-threading support. It right. has a stock speed of 3.5 gigahertz and will boost up to 3.9. Same Intel Graphics 5000 and same TDP of 95 watts.
I'm thinking the 6600K will probably actually be the higher overclocking part. Other than the fact that it might not be binned as well, but without the hyper-threading, it's not going to require more voltage. And I'm just thinking that I'm hoping, honestly, that this is like the return of the Sandy Bridge, and we're going to maybe get 5.5 gigahertz clocks out of these parts.
Yeah, we'll just have
maybe
to
maybe towards 6. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I see. And the thing is like the low TDPs make it pretty easy to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be good. Unless they're just maxed out, which is what it feels like we've been at right now, but
yeah.
I'm just hoping that that's not the case and that we can actually start to set some new speed records.
Yeah.
With these parts.
Sure. And the thing that's good is the more rumors that come out, that just means it's getting closer and closer to when they're going to be releasing these products.
Right. Didn't we have something that was, wasn't there something in the news this week that was more confirmed date?
Not that I saw.
Date-wise? Or was that just, maybe it was just Windows that was.
Yeah, that was Windows. We'll get to that story in just a second. But we'll move on from that to some NVIDIA news. So this is pretty cool. So originally when the Titan X came out, that's all, you could just buy the reference design.
Right.
You could buy it from other companies, like
yeah.
all the manufacturers made Titan X's, but they were all reference design, same stock cooler. So it looks like they're going to allow custom versions of the GTX 980 Ti, which is supposed to come out. We're not sure when. Maybe Computex, maybe after. We haven't got a confirmed date on it. But it will be cool that NVIDIA is allowing their add-in board partners to modify the card, so you can do, you know, just like all of the cards that you know, like the MSI Lightning cards, the Asus, the Asus cards, the ROG cards.
The classifieds,
all of that stuff. So you'll have the custom cooling in a lot of those too. You'll have higher clocks, custom overclocks, and you'll have custom PCBs that NVIDIA is allowing their partners to do. So that would probably is going to be the card to get, I feel, when it launches. It's going to be the highest end card, more on the consumer level, because the Titan X is more of a professional level where, you know, not a lot of people need that 12 gigs of VRAM. So this card is going to be that card. And again, you're going to have so many different flavors of this card because everybody's going to have the custom versions of it. It'll be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'd be really interested in the this card and one of the variants. I'd like to get a version with more VRMs, maybe some be able to do some higher overclocking.
Yeah, so that's going to be pretty exciting, but again, we don't know when the card's coming out, but it's good to see that they're going to allow custom versions of it for sure.
Yeah.
And then this is what you remember talking about Windows 10. So,
yes.
I don't know if this isn't really a confirmation, but AMD had their latest conference call, and this is the quote from AMD in their conference call is, "We are also factoring in with the Windows 10 launch at the end of July. We are watching the impact on the back-to-school season." That's like an exact quote from the CEO of AMD. So I don't know if she kind of let the cat out of the bag, letting us know that Windows is going to actually launch at the end of July. Most people were thinking August, end of August, because that's just typical.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, like, it's an AMD rumor, technically, right? So, like, most things AMD, it'll probably come a little later than they think.
Oh, you never know. I mean, I think that Microsoft is letting all these companies know when the product's going to be actually available. And it's just something that she just wasn't really thinking of and kind of, you know.
Forgetting that she was on a conference call.
Yeah. I don't know, or thinking that people are actually, you know, that this happens a lot, surprisingly, when it comes to things. So... I would love to see it in July. I'm really excited to really check out Windows 10 fully. So it'd be cool to see it in July. If not, I would assume we would definitely see it in August for sure.
Yeah. Which is close enough.
Yeah.
We're getting there. You just got to be patient.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just want to get – I just don't like Windows 8 at all.
I have Windows 7 on a PC that I was working on yesterday, and I'm just like, I can't wait till 10.
Yeah.
Honestly, this thing just pisses me off.
Yeah, so also talking about AMD, it's come out, more rumors, or leaks, or, you know, that AMD is working on an Opteron processor with 32 Zen cores. So we've been hearing a lot about the Zen architecture from AMD, and so we first heard about it when... it was leaked about the 16-core APU, and now we've heard about this, which is a 32-core Opteron processor.
Right.
And Opteron processors are more for server high-end type thing. It's server market, totally. But what's interesting about this is, so the APU had 16 cores, so if you take out the graphics, you're going to have 32 cores. Because they do it on a 50-50 ratio on the die. So with this, a lot of people are saying, well, if they do a retail product, if they do a, you know, an FX product based off this architecture, it's also going to have 32 cores. So that's pretty exciting that would happen. We don't know, you know, AMD has kind of steered away from the more consumer-based processors. You know, they have their APUs, but they haven't really pushed much in the terms of other consumer processors. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, like I said, this Zen architecture we've been hearing a lot about. This is all 2016, so you're not going to see it until the end of the year.
No. And do you really think they're going to do a consumer product with 32 cores? I mean, what are you going to use it for?
I don't know.
What you can't, I mean, there's nothing that's properly written for 32 cores. So I mean, it sounds exciting, but it's the same thing with all their other really higher core products. It's just,
yeah, that's very true.
Not that useful to the consumer.
Yeah. So, but it's good to see.
It's cool.
It's good to see this. It's good to see AMD is actually working on something because their business is not doing great at all. It's doing really bad actually. So you know, they have this stuff coming out in 2016. They have their R300 series coming out hopefully at Computex, so we'll see what they do. You know, it's not the greatest time for them right now. But talking about AMD still, we have information on their Greenland GPU. So we first also heard about the Greenland GPU that was it's in that 16-core APU that we had talked about last week. So this is their new graphics core, just like how Fiji is coming up. That Fiji is going to be their R300 series, and then Greenland is going to be the, I guess you would call it the R400 series. We're not exactly sure yet. So we have some more information about it. One of the cool things is that the main goal of Greenland is to focus on low power, and that's something that AMD has kind of struggled with. You know, we saw that on the we saw that on their R9 series. The R9 series just got it got so hot, and two, it used a lot of power,
which are results of each other essentially. Yeah. So you can manage to lower your power. I mean, it should take care of your heat issue.
And it kind of seems like they're taking a cue from NVIDIA, because NVIDIA's Maxwell architecture, so that's a GT970, 980, all of those cards that just came out. They're very low power consumption. They don't run overly hot. And the thing that's what's good about the low power is that's really great for mobile, right? So, you know, AMD is trying to more stabilize their business. So if more notebooks, not even gaming notebooks, but just regular notebooks that want an AMD part in there, the lower power means longer battery life for notebooks, and more notebook manufacturers will go to that if they can get more battery life out of it.
And if they're smart, that's really where they should be looking for the future.
Yeah. So also, couple cool things about Greenland is it's going to be using the second generation of high bandwidth memory. So on the R300 series, which should be coming out again at Computex, we'll see the first consumer product with high bandwidth memory, which we've been hearing a lot about. You know, this is supposed to be kind of like the next generation of memory that's going to be used in GPUs.
Should be a more refined version.
Yeah, on Greenland, they'll have the second generation. And NVIDIA at the same time will be releasing a codename Pascal right now. We really don't know that much about it, but we do know it will also use the second generation of high bandwidth memory. So we have that. And one really awesome thing that I know a lot of people are pretty pumped about is that Greenland will either be manufactured on 16 nanometer or 14 nanometer manufacturing. So that cuts the size down a lot. It allows.
It's good to see the drop after we've been on 28.
Yeah,
so
we've been on 28 nanometer for quite a long time on both NVIDIA side and AMD side. I mean, for years now. Yeah. And there hasn't been great yields on 20 nanometer. That's why you didn't see the NVIDIA's GM200 based on 20 nanometer. The yields were really bad. So it seems that for the next generation of both AMD and NVIDIA, it's either going to be 16 nanometer or 14 nanometer. And that basically means that you can fit, I think it's like four to six times more transistors on that part. So again, that's going to be massive power gains, performance gains, and all of that kind of stuff on a smaller die.
And lower power consumption.
Yeah, and lower power consumption as well. So very exciting. Next year, I think it's going to be a really exciting time for the GPU industry, because we're going to get, everything's going to be moved down. It's going to be a very interesting time with that time coming.
Yeah, it'll be more like a tick and not a top.
Yeah.
For GPU.
Yeah. For sure. We'll move on to our good friends over at CyberPower PC. They finally announced their Trinity gaming desktop, so you can go to the website and order it. It is one of the cooler things that I saw at CES this past year. It uses a case. I don't know if the case is even out yet. The case is actually made by Deepcool. Right. And it separates your PC parts into three distinct sections. And you have to go to the article if you're listening to the podcast and check out the case. It looks really cool. It's designed actually extremely well. If you take this thing to a LAN party, people are definitely going to check it out. And very, very
It reminds me of something from Halo.
Yeah, it kind of has that design. Deepcool actually had a few very radical cases at CES, and this was one of them. And CyberPower was showing it off, and that's where we actually saw it first. And it's very, very cool. It separates. It has these little, I guess you would call them blades, and the motherboard is on one blade, and then you have the power supply in another blade, and then you have a video card and storage in another blade. It's really, really cool. And they do it with being able to hide the wires really well too.
It's completely hidden. It's all with internally.
Yeah, it's
routed and everything.
It's very cool. So CyberPower is now taking orders for this system. So you can completely design your system and have it in this awesome case and have it all done for you. It's really, really cool. So definitely.
Is it aluminum? Are the aluminum construction? I don't know.
I think
if you remember
it's.
From.
I believe it's steel because it was extreme. Okay. It was very heavy. Very, very
was
heavy.
Was it?
Case.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see when the case really is released to see a lot of the different mods done to it.
Yeah, I assume we were going to see some cool mods come from it. I'm surprised we haven't seen like DeepCool actually commission a mod to kind of show off the case, because we've seen a lot of other case companies, when they have a new awesome case come out, they'll send it to a modder before it even comes out and have the mod ready for when they release the case.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if the case is even released yet, which is kind of weird.
It's probably not.
Yeah, because I haven't heard anything from DeepCool on it. You know, typically we would get a press release or something like that.
Possibly a review product.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, or a review product, I would assume. So this, definitely a cool system. But we'll move on from that. And there's some pretty crazy tech stories this week with people doing some crazy things.
I think there's just some pretty crazy people.
Yeah, so we actually had two stories this week that were kind of out of control. The first one, I don't know which one's crazier, to be honest. They're both pretty...
Because I can kind of sympathize with this first one.
Yeah, so the first one is a man was quite upset with his PC. Control Alt Delete wasn't working. It was running slow. I'm sure we've all had this problem where we kind of raged on our computer. But
yeah.
This guy raged extremely hard. He unplugged his computer, which was a Dell, by the way.
Yeah.
And
older Dell.
Yeah, and he took it out into the alley and shot it 8 times, like with a gun, like really shot it.
In the city of Colorado
Springs.
Yeah,
in the city of Colorado Springs. And the reason this is getting so much news and all of that is that the man was actually cited, and I don't know if he was actually arrested, but he was cited for
in Colorado, it's probably just like a yeah.
Yeah,
like
he was cited for discharging a firearm within city limits, I guess. But the police said he was really cooperative and everything like that. He was just really upset with his computer.
Yeah.
I would suggest to the guy to, instead of wasting ammo and getting a citation, just go buy a new computer.
Yeah, just throw it out the window.
Yeah, so
while you're driving down the road.
Yeah. That would have been a better thing to do than shoot it, but yeah. It's kind of funny, and if you look at, they actually released a picture, and he definitely shot his tower, so it's kind of funny. But it was really, really funny story. And then our second one, which is extremely crazy as well, so we had a woman found out she was getting cheated on by her boyfriend. This woman's from Japan, I'll just put that out there.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, freaking out on him, she took all of his Apple products and put them in the bathtub. And this included what looked like a couple laptops. It looked like an iMac, an expensive iMac. I don't know if that was
yeah.
just the monitor or if that's the actual whole iMac. Either way, both of those are extremely expensive.
Yeah, either way, it's like a 34-inch screen.
Yeah, so if you go to the article on the site, you can see the pictures. And she was extremely intelligent, I'm being sarcastic there, and put these pictures on Twitter as evidence of what she did.
Yeah.
And it looks like there's an app.
Just in case you were curious who did this.
Yeah, it looks like there's an Apple TV. Or not Apple. I don't know if that's an Apple TV in there, too.
I'm actually more amazed at how many Apple products this guy has.
Yeah, it looks like he had two laptops. Looks like I said, either a Apple monitor or an iMac. It looks like an Apple TV or something, or a Mac Mini. And I think she threw
yeah.
a bunch of other stuff in there that weren't Mac products too, like
okay.
like cell phones and other things. Like anything electronic, but it was mostly Apple products. That's kind of why this got a lot of news. But
yeah.
One, if you cheat on somebody, make sure they don't. Make sure you don't live with them.
Make sure your stuff is locked down.
Two, yeah. And if she's crazy like this, you probably shouldn't be dating her in the first place.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a funny story, so if you want a little laugh, you can definitely go to the website and check.
What? Another thing about it is, too, that, I mean, none of it's plugged in. There's potential that it's all still
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I mean, you could throw it in rice and see what happens. But I
mean, if it's not powered, I mean, you can get electronics wet.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of this stuff's going to last, but...
No.
Yeah, and then finally our last news story of the week. We're trying to get through our news here. Our friends over at Thermaltake announced their Core X9 Snow Edition. So the Core X9 has been out for a while. It's part of their Core series, which we reviewed the Core X1, I think. But these are kind of cube-style cases, and this is the biggest one. The Core X9 fits extended ATX motherboards. It's huge. It has it's a great case if you wanted to do a water cooling build or something along those lines. So with this, it's the Snow Edition. So as you can guess, it's all white. It just looks awesome. I feel
And it much better than the black
ones. Yeah, it looks much better than the black ones. Again, if you wanted to do a white theme build in this, it would just be awesome. You know,
it's also better if you're gonna do just about any custom paint work, because having a white base is much easier to work with than a black.
Yeah, so it's really great. I don't know. I really don't think this is limited edition either. I believe it's just they just came out with it. Probably by popular demand too. I mean, this is something that I feel a lot of people would want.
Yeah, white cases are really
in a white
kind of the in thing.
And the thing is with white cases too, it allows you to show, like, there's a big side panel window, and the white allows you to show off your components a lot better.
Yeah, you get some plain white LEDs in there, and everything will just pop.
Yeah, so so that just came out. I believe it's available now. You can go ahead and order it from any of your favorite online retailers. If it's not out yet, which I believe it is, but if it's not, it will be very soon. So definitely check that out, and we are done with our news for the week.
Nice.
So we'll move on to what reviews we have coming up next week, and I believe I'm doing all the reviews next week.
That's partially my fault.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not gonna take blame though. I just have had a lot of bad PC luck lately.
Yeah, Derek broke his test machine.
I didn't break, it just broke.
No, he broke it.
I broke it.
Derek broke his test machine, so I'll be doing a lot of the reviews this week, but it's okay because I'm awesome at that. And
yeah,
we are taking a look at some cool stuff. So I'm taking a look at another Kingston solid state drive. And this is
Kingston. Lots of Kingston love.
Yeah, well, the actual like embargo on the review is Monday, so I figured I might as well just get the review up then. To be one of the first sites that have it. So this is their HyperX Savage solid state drive. So this is, you know, they had their HyperX 3K and their HyperX Fury that have been out for a while. So this is kind of their 2015 newer solid state drive. Pretty excited to test it out. I just took all the pictures and got it installed. I haven't really tested it. It's going to get all done this weekend. Okay. It's based on the Phison S10.
Another Phison.
Yeah, so that's the Phison S10. That's the same thing that was in the Corsair Neutron XT. We've seen a lot of companies use this. So we'll see how well it works.
What size did you get?
I got the 240. Which I'm not that excited about. But
no, it's meh.
Yeah. But
how does it do? I haven't looked at their product specs, but does the speed change?
I believe it does. So okay. Hold on. Let me see if they actually have it on here. Yeah, so, well,
they just have it listed, and then I don't see separate speeds
for
it.
Yeah, said there are separate speeds. In all honesty, I really have to test it.
Yeah.
To see, because, so, with a lot of solid-state drives now, for those who don't understand why you would have lower speeds for different capacities, is that companies will use... So only a certain size of NAND on their drive. And the way that solid-state drives are fast, and the reason why they're so fast, is they can access different memory modules at once. They can access, you know, a certain amount. So if you have a 120-gig drive that only has 4 NAND chips on it, that's the maximum amount that they can access at once. Whereas if you have a higher-end drive, say a 480 or something like that, that may have 16... They're going to access all those at the same time, and obviously it's going to be faster.
So more simultaneous, right?
Yeah, so that's why you have lower speeds at lower capacities when it comes to solid-state drives these days. Some companies have actually come up with ways that doesn't happen, but I'm not sure on this drive, to be honest. I haven't tested it, so I can't really tell you.
Yeah,
but
we'll see next week.
Yeah, the review should be up on Monday for all those listening, so definitely check it out, and I will tell you if that is the case or not. So I will also be checking out Patriot Viper Series DDR4 memory kit. So the Viper Series from Patriot has been their kind of their not their base, I wouldn't call it basic, but kind of their middle ground enthusiast product for memory. So we have their DDR4. I have the 16 gigabyte kit that runs at 20, or the ones at 2800 megahertz, I believe.
Oh, nice.
So definitely interested in checking that out. You know, we've pretty much reviewed all the enthusiast DDR4 that's out there. Except for Patriot.
Really, really good roundup.
Yeah, so except for Patriot, so I'm excited to see what they can do as far as obviously just performance and then overclocking as well. Again, I just put these into the machine, so I can't tell you. I can't tell you if they're
good. No idea how fast they are.
Yeah, so. But yeah, that is also coming next week. Another really cool product. I didn't realize it was as cool until I actually took a look at it. Which again, I just got this out a couple days ago and started, you know, using it. This is Asus's Republic of Gamers Gladius gaming mouse. And if you look at it, I mean, if you go to the website and check out the picture, it doesn't look like much.
No, it looks pretty standard.
Yeah, it looks pretty standard, but it's designed to be standard, but there's so many things in this that are just so cool, and it's designed really well. It feels really great. As soon as I started using it, it feels really great. It doesn't have that many buttons or anything like that, but one thing that's extremely cool is that the actual switches, the right and left mouse click switches, you can actually take the mouse apart and take the switches out and change them out. Something that you typically can't do. They call this the ROG socket.
Okay.
And they actually give you two extra Omron switches.
So different sensitivities?
Or
tactile feels?
I'm not actually sure. The ones that they give you. I just know that that's what it came with.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of the reason for it, you know?
Well, I mean...
It's cool, but I guess to replace them if they wear out?
Yeah, that's the thing, too. I mean, okay, Omron switches are rated for 20 million clicks as it is. But this kind of gives you the ability to change out the switches if you want to, different types of switches. Or if they break, you don't have to go get a brand new mouse, right? You can just...
Right.
Yeah. You know, if something would happen, you can just... It's just something cool that Asus has done. Again, a really cool mouse. There's a lot of things in here that just aren't in other mice. It kind of, you know, when I did the unboxing, I talked about how a lot of companies just kind of come out with a product. You know, Asus, we know for graphics cards and motherboards, right? And, yep. You know, coming out with a gaming mouse is kind of like, you know. And a lot of companies kind of just do their own little OEM thing, and they just get kind of just a whatever mouse out. This Asus has really thought out a lot of different things. When you go into the review next week, and you'll see, I'll point out a lot of different things that this mouse has that you typically, again, don't see on a lot of other mice. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
And then finally, I'll be taking a look at a CPU cooler. This is another tower CPU cooler, single tower. It's from Sith, and it is their Asura CPU cooler. So I am pretty excited to check that out. This cooler's been out for a while, but they decided to send it to us anyways. but it should work pretty well. Single tower cooler, copper heat pipes, 140 millimeter cooling fan. Looks pretty easy to install, but I haven't obviously installed it yet. But yeah, this is another. I like doing air coolers. I don't know. It's something weird. I just like doing it.
Yeah.
So we'll have those four things. Maybe some other stuff next week too. Actually, we will have. I guess next week's the end of the month, so I guess we'll have our worst PC article coming out next month or next week.
Sweet.
Too, which is always fun to see.
Every time.
Yeah. So
makes you feel good.
Yeah. Makes you feel good about your PC setup. So we'll also have that next month. So as we kind of conclude our podcast, we always talk about something that we checked out this past week. For me, I decided to start watching Mad Men, which all of my friends said I would really like. And I'm on, like, I've finished three episodes of it so far, obviously starting from the first season. I think there's seven seasons out now, but it's pretty good, but it kind of starts out slow, so I'm kind of giving it time to see if I'm actually really going to want to watch it. I don't know, have you ever watched it?
Nah, okay. It just didn't seem my speed at all.
Yeah, so it's kind of slow to start out, but it's, you know, a lot of my other shows are kind of done until next, you know, until... like fall time
the next yeah
so I kind of wanted to get something, and I've been trying to not like go out and party as much So
Slowing down, Babs.
slowing down, but I mean, you know, just trying to get all these reviews done and everything else for the site and all the stuff that we're doing. So, yeah, I do like it. It's kind of slow right now, so maybe next week I'll give you an update on how, you know, how it's kind of progressed and how I like it. But did you do
Yeah.
anything cool or check out anything cool this past week?
Yeah, you know what I did? And I actually just starting into it, but there's this company that started a program for cycling trainers called Zwift, and it's actually like a game that ties into your sensors on your bike. So you ride on a trainer so you can like
They give
still train while you're inside, right? During the winter and stuff. And what it does is it actually, you know, it's got all the you get a USB dongle for it, and it picks up all the sensors on your bike. So you got your speed, your heart rate,
Wait, you have
the how
sensors on your
fast you're
bike?
pedaling. Oh
Oh,
yeah,
that's crazy. You're way too into that, I feel.
way too into it.
Oh, that's cool. So what does this
Power out
actually,
for
so
that.
this makes it like a
So
game?
this takes it and it puts you online in an MMO with other riders that are actually on it at the same time.
Now, this is something that like, so you're on your trainer at home doing this,
Right.
and then you have this like on your monitor?
Yeah, well, I'll put it up. I'll run it through. You run it through a computer, obviously. It's an actual, you know, it runs like a game, so you gotta actually have a computer to run it. And then I'll put it up on my TV
Okay.
that I normally will watch like a training video or just, you know, YouTube videos or something while I'm training, but that honestly gets really boring. This you can actually compete with actual other people around the world.
Okay, because they kind of like have that at my gym. They have the, I think it's called, the company's called Espresso or whatever. And like,
Okay.
there's certain machines that are kind of, they're like a video game, right? But you
Right.
can, I don't do it because I'm not really trying to sit there and type in my email and all this stuff. But you can kind
Yeah.
of do, it's sort of like the same thing where you can log in and you can compete with other people. If you wanted to, I never do it. I don't like going to those machines anyways because I don't like them. But
Cardio.
no, I like just going to I go to the other machine that is just like a bike, and
Okay.
I it had that one has a TV, so I just put on like SportsCenter. So I usually listen to music
Right.
anyways, you know. But like
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. So it's sort of like that, but for the home. That's actually really cool. So in this
Yeah.
MMO, are you able to do like do you like level or is it just kind of?
I've just started it. I'm not sure how it's gonna go, but everybody, I have a lot of friends that have used it, and they all say that it's a game changer for indoor riding.
Okay, yeah, because it's kind of hard to kind of get motivated in, you know,
Yeah.
indoor riding or make it kind of, because like when you're outside, it's kind of, it's fun because you're like,
It's fun,
yeah, you're
yeah.
like in the, you know, there's things around you and things going on and you're outside and, you know, but inside
Yeah.
it's kind of hard. And especially for, you know, the wintertime, that's the time where a lot of people gain weight or they don't have the motivation to go to the
Exactly.
gym. I mean, I didn't go to the gym all last winter, really. I
Yep.
just started going back a couple weeks ago. So that's actually really cool. I kind of like that. Now, do you know how much was it?
It's free.
It's free.
And it's in beta right now, but I'm not sure what it's gonna go to as far as cost wise. I'm not, 'cause they don't really sell anything, so they are gonna have to. It'll probably be a subscription at some point, I'm
Okay,
guessing.
okay.
But it's a request beta. As long as you got the right equipment, you can get into the beta.
Nice, nice. Okay, cool. So that pretty much wraps up our podcast this week. Remember, on the site we will have a page that has all of these show notes for everything. So everything that we talked about, we'll have links to all of that as always. And for all of our previous episodes, there's always show notes for everything. And if you are on iTunes, you can easily subscribe to the podcast. You can just type in Think Computers, all one word. We should pop up. Pretty much first, I would assume. So that is basically it. As always, we want to thank you guys for watching. I don't know if you want to add anything in there, Derek.
No.
All right.
Looking forward to getting some reviews done.
Yeah. So we'll catch everybody next week, and we appreciate you guys watching.
Later.